part of the reason that Friday morning service was so special was that song and all of the other singing that Bruce and Pam did. But that song is so personal, addressed to my mom, Rose. You know, we were here last Sunday and heard the sad news of Bill's mom's passing. So I sat here, never expected, 24 hours later, I'd be hearing the same news. You know, I got the call probably 9:30 in the morning. She was on fourth floor in the nursing home from the director of nursing and said that, you know, mom had had a spell. She was unresponsive, but still had a pulse. And they were sending her to the ER. Okay. My mom, you know, that's not really, I don't know, that much to overcome, it seems. You know, I was just expecting to go to the ER and see and have her recover. You know, I always tell the story, you know, 11 years ago, she had two massive strokes. She was unresponsive in ICU for over 36 hours. Remember, and I'd like to tell the story where Pastor Bruce and I prayed over her. And the prayer, my prayer at that time was, because the doctor said she's never going to come out of this. She's never going to walk. She's never going to come out of the hospital. She's never going to live by herself. Never, never, never. But my mom, don't ever say never. Because she did all of the above. She even got home and stayed by herself for a while. My prayer with Pastor Bruce at that point was, Lord, bring her back just long enough that we can say goodbye. That was all. That was all. We've had 11 years to enjoy, and somehow even that wasn't long enough. You know, in my selfish, somehow her mom died at 101, and I had it in my mind, my mom was 94. I had it in my mind that she'd make it that long too. You know, what's really been especially hard these last 3 months, because she's been in the nursing home, I couldn't go in to see her. You know, conversations via Skype, via phone. She had problems hearing. She's been in the emergency room 4 times in the last month because of infection, cellulitis, and pneumonia. 3 times I spent probably 4 hours between the 3 visits with her. No restrictions. I could hug her, I could kiss her. So at least the Lord gave me that time. I do want to say a special thank you to Pastor Bruce, Pam, and Paul for being there. Pastor Bruce and Pam were there in the emergency room for us. Pam, the singing, the message that they shared. You know, it truly has been a rough week. You know, there was, it's July 4th. And there was a lot of things in that message that I, and the service that I wanted to incorporate about my mom. And in conversations with my sister, Brenda, we wanted to ensure that people, even though it was family and friends, come away with understanding who my mom was. And I wanted to share one of the things that was kind of deep was Pastor Paul you know, several of my family members, immediate family members, live in Baldwinsville. And they brought some of their in-laws with them from Baldwinsville, and I was able to introduce Paul as a native of Baldwinsville. So that was kind of deep. One of the things I wanted to share also that, you know, when Bruce first asked me if I wanted to do this, I declined. And, you know, a kind of sense of guilt came over me. In the service, I kind of compared that sense of guilt with a sense of guilt that my mom always made me feel when I turned her down for something. I'd say no initially, but I'd always end up doing, you know, just what she wanted me to do. And, you know, with Bruce, I'm not sure I should. I'll share a story in a second. My mom loves stuffed animals. She had this dog that activities gave her. And I mean, this dog was real. You know, it barked at you when you entered the room. It was like, it detected motion. It talked to you. You couldn't come in that room unless you sat and held that dog on your lap. That dog was there with me yesterday with star-spangled bandana, because we changed the bandana by season. Of course, we had him up over, had it up over his nose, politically correct. Back a few months ago, Pastor Bruce, I think during one of our dinners, said something to me. He said, "I have a confession to make." He said, "I was in to visit your mom." And of course, he was holding the dog on his lap. And he kiddingly said to her, "You know, I think this dog is cuter than your son, Don." And so I went and I confronted her, you know. So I asked Bruce, you know, what did she say? And she just laughed. So I confronted mom with it, you know, why did you just laugh? She wouldn't answer me. So I guess she too felt that way, that dog was cuter than her son. Oh, well, they always say, you know, if you've got a face that only a mother could. Well, you know, it's not often that your pastor approaches you and tells you that they've got a confession to make. But so it was just cute. You know, that animal was her life the last 3 months. It really was. You know, anytime I Skyped with her, I told her, you know, make sure that you hold that dog, because that's one of the main sources of comfort for her. One of the first things, you know, I started to talk about, you know, I wanted everyone to know who my mom was and what she stood for. I think most of you know that my mom was a Gold Star mother. You know, my brother Larry was killed in Vietnam, May 28, 1968. So one of the things that I wanted to do is make sure that recognition of being that Gold Star mom was given, and that was the first thing that we did with the help of representatives from the auxiliary of the Krogan Legion, and they have been so wonderful over the years, recognizing her through Gold Star dinners and visits and everything. And they came up and they placed the Gold Star banner, because it was always on her wall, on the back of her door, where it was never out of her sight, because that's one thing that she never wanted to forget was Larry and the sacrifice that he made. It was always right there in front of her. And one of the things that I had them do, because they have a routine, a prayer, but I had the Gold Star banner, and as part of that presentation, I had them place that Gold Star banner on her casket, because that was so much a part of who she was, her identity. And then, as part of that presentation, I played a song, which I want to share with you if I can get my equipment to work here. And that song is written, it's sung by the Statler Brothers. And it's a song entitled More than just a name. You know, I never got Mom to Washington to see the official wall, Vietnam Memorial. A couple times the traveling wall was here in here in the North Country, and I remember the first time I took her, you know, back in, I think in the mid-80s, but I took her. She went when it was here in Lowville, and we had a special presentation for all the Gold Star families, and she was able to place a rose at the base of the wall where Larry's name appeared. But that song, more than just a name, was, you know, we got 58,000 names on that wall. How easily you could look at the names and just, it just be a name. And her greatest fear, her greatest prayer, was that his sacrifice, the life he lived, be remembered. And I can't help but look around at the news and everything right now. And I think Pam made the comment yet on Friday at the luncheon afterwards that the ones that should be honored are the ones that are being forgotten. You know, look at what's happening with, I don't want to get political here, but, you know, even the police. You know, I have a niece as a state trooper, and my sister, you know, cringes every time she has to go out. You know, because everything going against them, it puts their lives in danger just because of that. But I want to play, if my equipment will cooperate, more than just a name.
And she walked up to the wall.
Hope that's loud enough.
She took out a pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up at the words she said for me. She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. I know I'd love to see him just one more time to see. All I have are the memories and the moments to recall. So Lord, could you tell him he's more than a man on a wall? She said he really missed the family, being home on Christmas Day. And he died for God's country in a place so far away. I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me. She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memories and the moments to recall. But Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name on a wall? Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name?
You know, being July 4th weekend, I thought that was an appropriate song to play. You know, a day when we are meant to celebrate our freedoms, we have to remember everyone that made the ultimate sacrifice, not just my brother, Vietnam alone, 58,000 lives that were lost, so that we can sit here today and enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. You know, one of the other connections, a neat story. Pastor Paul, I remember, stood here last summer and shared, because he's always volunteering and helping out in so many different places. He was sharing about, through MDS or Habitat for Humanity, but a house on the Arthur Road, on Route 26, north of Lowellville, that they had identified that needed help. The family that lived there, you know, were older. You know, they couldn't do, the lawn wasn't being mowed. So one of the neighbors stopped in and asked what was going on, and they just couldn't keep things up anymore. He noticed that the house really needed a lot of work. Well, that house that Paul helped and they renovated was the house that I grew up in. From 1953, when I was born, and my dad and mom lived there, and my grandfather lived there. You know, we moved off in 1968 when our barn burned. But I thought it was such a neat story that Paul was telling, that here is the homestead, the home that we grew up in. And there was an article and pictures in our local newspaper. And I took that in and shared it with Mom. So it initiated so many stories. You know, remembrances of all of the things that went on. You know, I was fortunate because I'm retired and I could spend, I tried to be with Mom every day. We would go down to the gift shop and have her half an egg salad sandwich, three pickles, and it had to be three. She would tell if it wasn't, and a cup of coffee. But I was able, because of that story, you know, not just to take, you know, all the remembrances, but take it to the future. And that's where John 14:1, where Jesus is preparing the life she lived in a home that really needed a lot of work. But that's the earthly home. This is reading John 14 and sharing that. I was able to share with her the home she had to look forward to. So, and Paul's role in that, you know, because I asked him to share that story. And it was just so neat to be able to bring that together. Not just that he was, you know, his hometown was Baldwinsville, but that was so much a springboard, that story, those remembrances, to my many conversations with Mom. And, you know, a few months ago I asked her, how would you like to be remembered? And she said, just that family was the only thing that was important to her. And it was, seven of us. But the other thing was John 16:33, about being an overcomer, because Mom was certainly an overcomer. She overcame the death of an eldest son, the death of her husband 2 years later, my dad, to suicide. He could never deal with, you know, March of 68, May, January 28th of 68, our barn burned. May, 4 months later, May 28th, 1968, Larry was killed. 2 years later, Dad died. She went from being a lifetime homemaker to a provider, to a Gold Star mom, to a widow, to a provider. She had to fight and overcome so many things. She wanted her son to be remembered, but she had to fight a world that wanted to forget the memory of Vietnam, the valor, the courage of the men that fought there were supposed to be buried with. And she had to be a provider, but she had to compete with a world in which You know, she'd never worked out except for prior to her marriage. Since she got married, she never worked outside the home. And the other thing, she never drove. She tried, but she never really wanted to. She never drove a car. You know, but despite all of that, she overcame. You know, when I was called to the ER, you know, I was fully expecting, you know, mom, okay, another couple days of ICU or wherever. I was just overwhelmed when they met me at the door, took me in a little room, and they told me that she had passed. You know, it took me, you know, this can't be. It took me several minutes to recover from the shock. You know, they were really good in the ER because they allowed the family to stay with her for a couple hours before Jennifer Eisenacher came to get the body. You know, we've lost family members, but I've never spent that much time with someone that had died. And, you know, thinking back, I remember thinking, you know, I couldn't quite put it in reality that she was gone because, you know, one eye was open a little bit, and she's just leaving. I didn't want to face the fact that she was gone. Thinking back, you know, I realize death, you know, she was gone. That spirit, that personality, that caring heart that I'd known for 67 years, was no longer there. It was just a shell. But where did it go? Where was it? And I think it really confronted me, hit me hard, the harshness, the suddenness, the loneliness, and the emptiness of death, except for when, you know, that was just the shell that was there. When we all die, that spirit, that personality leaves, there's one of two places that it goes. And that's something that we have to all face. We have to look at our families and make sure that they understand that's what they all face. And I think that's one of the things that really came out of the experience was that time and the reality of death, but also the reality of God's plan and the responsibilities that we have before we get there. There was one other thing that I wanted to share. There's a book that I became aware of a few months ago, and I've read it several times. It's simply called A Lament for a Son. I think that Christy and Neil would appreciate this one too. It's about a man that, actually he's a philosophical theology professor, a little above my reading level, but what he shares, he lost his son. His son was 25. And the things that he shares in this book are just so real and so raw. It was just wow. And I just wanted to share one thing, and I had Paul share it yesterday. You know, all mankind is of one author and is of one volume. When one man dies, one chapter is not torn out of the book, but translated into a better language. And every chapter must be so translated. God employs several translators. Some pieces are translated by age, some by sickness, some by war. You know, my mom's life was translated by age. My brother's life was translated by war. Some by justice, But God's hand is in every translation. Whether we're a believer or not, God's hand is there. And his hand shall bind up all our scattered leaves again for that library where every book shall lie open to one another. And therefore the bell that rings to a sermon calls not upon the preacher only, but upon the congregation to come. So this bell calls us all. Thank you for your prayers. And I'm sorry, Bill, I took so much time. You know, we were supposed to be done yet on Friday because we, 1:30 for the graveside service, and we took about half an hour longer than we should. But I spent so much time with my mom. I could be here all day. And I don't regret any minute. You know, since 17, I was her driver, age 17. I've been her caregiver, her power, you know. My family, you know, they've been in Syracuse area, they haven't been there, but they have been supportive. But, you know, I wanted to take advantage of every moment I had, and I don't regret it a bit. But I know where she is. Thank you.
Last Sunday, 5:00 in the morning, we had a call from my sister saying that Mom was not good at all. So we drove up to see just how bad it was. On the way, we happened to see, as we went by the Roberts Road, just an absolute beautiful, beautiful sunrise. Most gorgeous sunrise I've ever seen in my life. We both said the same thing. God has opened heaven for my mom. When we got up there, she was, a short time later, she passed away. And we had called Pam and Bruce, and they came up and they were with us and said a prayer service with our whole family. And I really thank you for that. It was absolutely wonderful, and they spoke a lot of it, too. In our family, there are 8 children at one time. My mom and dad had 3 of my brothers that were in the Marines all at the same time, and they were honored for that. They got a plaque for it because of it. Today we're honoring not just my mother and Don's mother, but all mothers. We really miss celebrating Mother's Day with all of the mothers of the world. So this is a tribute to you also. It's not just about my mother. We had been watching my mother for over 4 years, slowly pass away a little at a time, the same as Pam had to do with her mom. She had Alzheimer's, and she lived in her home for a while, and we'd go down there and have supper with her, different ones with the family. And we'd go down too, and I remember one time I was down here, and I said to Mom, I says, what are we doing? He says, well, we're going up to the house and have supper. What are we having? One of her favorite meals, mashed potatoes, venison, and gravy. Oh, goody, goody. I got to go get a sweater. Okay. She come back. Where are we going? 3 times she did this. 3 times the same answer. It's hard to watch your mother pass away so slowly. And like I said, over 4 years, even week by week, I mean, you could see the difference in her until finally they took her out of her home. And she was up to my youngest sister's is where she ended up with staying until she passed away. And again, different ones of the family, we go up different days of the week and have supper with her and, you know, be with her for a few hours so my sister could kind of get away a little bit. And we tried to make things that that she really liked. And you could tell she really liked it because one time we were eating and she happened to get done eating before we were. And she sat there and she said to Judy, she says, "Well, aren't you going to feed me?" It was kind of funny, but why, sure. And she had a little bit more, so she gestured up a little bit more and fed her some more. And as I say, as time went on, the deterioration of it, like I said, day by day by day, she didn't got to the point where she knew none of us. They would try to make her remember her children. And if you started it with the oldest one and then on down through, she could see them one after another. But towards the end, she couldn't even do that. But if you asked her, okay, so which one is this? I don't know. Sometimes I'd be called my father's name, and my sister would be there. No, that's not Herb, that's Bill. And my next youngest brother had it happen right in his home when we were still taking her to our houses and feeding her. And when she called him my dad's name, it just like took him by such a surprise, he had turned him off the way. And I had the heads up because of him doing it to her, or her doing it to him. So when she did that to me, it was like, oh, okay, I know where it's coming from. But towards the end, my mother wasn't even able to walk. If you stood her on her feet, she was so scared that she didn't know what to do. She said, "I don't know what to do." So as I said, we watched this slowly but surely fade away. And
you've been disconnected.
Okay, does that mean I'm done?
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That's all right.
We didn't mean to cut you.
I guess. Don, I like the fact that you talked about God making a house in heaven for us, and when we pass from this earth to the next. And like I said, that beautiful, beautiful sunshine, the sunrise, it couldn't be beat. Another thing, when my mother finally did pass, we just happened to be outdoors, and I come walking back in, and the tree right beside her window was a cardinal.
Her favorite bird.
And the thing of it is that we watched them just about every day that we were up there. But one thing that they didn't see was the female cardinal. That day, that morning, she was there. And then they watched her leave. It was, it's a heartbreak to watch your mother pass away, but it's also, remember that it's a relief. And again, we talked about that this morning too. We know that Jesus has made a house for each and every one of us in heaven. And I still say that my mom is in heaven. What we need to understand is that just because she's not here so we can physically talk to her, hold her, hug her, kiss her, we need to understand that's where we all want to be one day, and that Jesus is also up there building a home for you and I. And the thing of it is, she's young. She's not hurting anymore. Don, neither is your mom. She's young. I think she's even younger than I am now. How can that be? But I think she is. God says that we're young and we don't grow old. And I ask this one question: how much is eternity? As far as the east is from the west, that's eternity. On and on and on, forever and ever. There was one thing I was going to read, but I don't know whether it's appropriate or not, and I left it in my Bible, and I'd ask if it's okay to do it. And it doesn't have to do with my mom or anything like that. But it's an event that's happened recently, and it's about the murder of George Floyd. And I was going to bring it up in my Sunday school class today, and I asked this one question: what do we think about him? What do we know about him? what was he? What did they label him as? A criminal. But we need to understand that those police officers that killed that man were as much of a criminal or more than he was. And the rioting that people did because of it is worse yet. I am going to get that, and I'm going to read this for you. Again, the only thing that the media said anything about him, he was a criminal. He'd been arrested many times for drugs. He'd been in prison. He did this and he did that. And well, here's the story about him. He said, this is from the Billy Graham Decision magazine. And he says, join me in a prayer for the family of George Floyd, known as Big Floyd. He is a friend from his home of Houston. He had experienced the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, he was a criminal. Yes, he failed. But what we need to understand, he worked in the ministry for almost the past decade, helping the church reach young people. Does that make him a criminal? In some people's eye, yes, it would. He wasn't perfect, like all of us. There were times when he slipped. We need to understand, we have no right to judge anybody else. And he was being judged by a lot of people because we didn't know anything more about his life. The same way we are judged by all sorts of different people because we're Christians. We say we're a Christian and like, we want nothing to do with you. It's sad. And it feels like day by day, we just feel like you're being closed in more and more on every side. But his heart hurt for the many inner city youth who got caught up in the violence and the drugs, and he did his best to help them come to know the Lord. Does that sound like a criminal? It doesn't to me. Yes, we all have problems. We all slip. We all fail. But the only thing that we heard from the media is how bad he was and how he did this and he did that. And oh boy, he's just a horrible, horrible person. But he isn't. If he was helping young people, how can we condemn him? We have no right to. Okay, going back to my mother, this is what they had. And this, ladies, is for you too. And Judy's got some more that she's going to read. This is what was written on my mom's card. He said God looked around the garden. By the way, my mom loved birds. She loved gardening. She loved her children. Our next door neighbor sent us a beautiful note and a sympathy card saying that if it wasn't for your mom, she wouldn't have made it through LPN school with Judy. They went together at the same time. My mom watched her little boy who wasn't very good from birth. After he was a little bit over 2 years old, he passed away. But she said, I couldn't have done it without her. And it didn't make any difference how many of our friends we dragged into the house or everyone at supper time. Sit down. Have a supper with us. Okay. But this is what it says. God looked around the garden and found an empty space. He looked down upon the earth and saw your tired face. He put his arms around you and lifted you to rest. God's garden must be beautiful. For he only takes the best. He knows that you were suffering, and he knew you were in pain. He knew that you would never be well again on earth. He saw the roads were getting rough, and the hills were hard to climb. So he closed your weary eyelids and whispered, peace be thine. I thought that was a fitting thing to read about our parents, when they passed from this, our mothers. I lost my dad 22 years ago. It'll be 22 years ago in November. So Yes, my mom has been widowed all this time. Fortunately, I mean, all of us children were all grown up. All eight of us were grown up and gone. So we all went down and looked in on her and helped her wherever she needed. And then finally, when she got so bad that she couldn't stay in her house anymore, she went up to stay with my sister, and then we ended up selling the house. But to the end, we all took our turns in taking care of her. Judith, you want to go ahead and read that? And again, this next one is for all women. We need to understand, I really miss the fact that we didn't celebrate Mother's Day for you. And it's something I look forward to every year. I like it when we can have a meal together and a breakfast and say it's for you. And this is for all women.
I just wanted to say Bill's mom was a mother. She worked one time and they had three children. And Bill's dad wanted her to be home so bad. And finally she decided that her job was at home. And so many times we think of housewives or mothers as it's not a job, but it was a job. And if you do it well, your children, when they're born, they're like a blank piece of paper and they receive what you give them. And I know one of my joys working as a nurse in maternity was helping young people learn that, you know, the baby isn't going to tell you anything. You're telling the baby and all their lives. You're training them. And his dad was so happy they had five more kids after she stayed home. So she did her job very well. And one of the last things that I was able to say to her as I held her that morning was, your job is done. We all will be all right. You've done a good job, and we'll take it from here. Now you can rest. And she certainly did, after eight, deserve that rest. But this is, I think I shared it one Mother's Day a while ago. It's entitled, My Mother. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. Is the way long, she asked, and her guide said, yes, and the way is hard. And you will be old before you reach the end of it, but the end will be better than the beginning. But the young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children, gathered flowers along the way, bathed them in the clear stream, and the sun shone on them, and life was good. And the young mother cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. The night came, and with it came storm. And the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold. And the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, oh, mother, we are not afraid, for you are near, and no harm could come. And the mother said, this is better than the brightness of day, for I have taught my children courage. The morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary. And the mother was weary, but all the time she said to the children, a little patience and we will soon be there. So the children climbed, and when they reached the top, they said, we could not have done this without you, mother. And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked up at the stars and said, this is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage. Today I have given them strength. And the next day came a strange cloud which darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped and stumbled, and the mother said, look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory. And it guided them and brought them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother said, this is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God. And the days went on, and the weeks and the months and the years, and the mother grew old and bent, but her children were tall and strong and walked with courage. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was as light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill, and beyond the hill, there could be seen a shining road and golden gates flung wide open. And the mother said, I have reached the end of my journey, and now I know that the end is better than the beginning, for my children can walk alone and their children after them. And the children said, "You will always walk with us, Mother, even when you have gone through the gates." And they stood and watched her as she went on alone, and the gates closed after her. And they said, "We cannot see her, but she is with us still. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence." Bill's mom walked that road. She didn't remember anyone anymore, and it was hard. But she always showed love as much as she could until fear took over. And we rejoice knowing that she doesn't hurt anymore and that she's with her family and with the Lord. The Lord was very important to her, and she always knew when she couldn't go to church anymore and someone would come to represent the church with her, she always would smile and be so grateful that someone came to be with her. And a few years ago, when she was 85, we found this plaque that the daughter-in-laws gave to her. And I wanted to say, I was the oldest daughter-in-law. "You are the mother that I received the day I wed your son. And I just want to thank you, Mom, for the things that you have done. You have given me a gracious man with whom I share my life. You are his lovely mother, and I his lucky wife. You used to pat his little head, and now I hold his hand. You raised in love a little boy that gave to me a man." And all of the daughter-in-laws were there, and we all put a little note on the back for her. And that was one of the last times that she remembered everybody. And it was just so special to see the friends and the people that, of course, because of the coronavirus, couldn't be there. And we really appreciated our church family and all the prayers and the love that we received during that time. And I kind of want to put a little plug in for my mom. It's been 37 years since my mom and dad left their home with everything the way they expected to come back to. Things that were being sewed, were being knitted, were laying on the counter where she left it. 7 sweaters were in different stages of being made, because she'd get bored with one color. Everybody got a new sweater for their birthday, and she'd pick up another color and work on it for a while. They weren't retired yet. They both were working, looking forward to another year when they would retire with plans. And my aunt's mother had passed away, and my mom and dad left that day to go to a funeral. And on the way home, they were killed. They were always together, and it gave us some peace that they were together when it happened. We were on vacation. We were with his mom and dad camping, and she got the word and wouldn't tell me what was wrong. I'll never forget walking that long way back to the campsite where we were. We'd received a call from the ranger, or a visit, to come and answer the phone. And when she did, she saw it was my phone. She said, "I'm not going to let you call. I'm going to call." She wasn't always strong with me. We were friends. We were friends more than mother and daughter-in-law, really. And so I remember her dragging me up that hill, me crying, "You got to tell me what's wrong." We had a new baby in the family, and I thought something had happened to the baby. And Bill saw us coming, and he ran down to see what was wrong. She told him, and then he told me. My mom was a nurse. My sister is a nurse. We were always together telling jokes about nursing and things to gross out my brother-in-law. He hated it. But we just enjoyed it so much. She taught me love. I grew up in the Baptist church like Paul, and we often talk about things that just feel like home. And this church and this family is home to us. And, you know, I wish that we could have been like Don. We did a little part, but we were only allowed to do so much because of the restrictions of her church that she loved. But we sure do appreciate everybody here. And what's in the bulletin today says it. When Mom and Dad left to go to that funeral, things were left undone, unsaid. And don't ever take it for granted, because it could be that way. And not being able to be with your loved one and say goodbye is the hardest thing to have to think about. Did I say it enough? Did I say I love you enough? Did I respect you enough? You know, my grandmother passed away. I took care of her in our home. And she told me, it's okay. It's the way it's supposed to be. That gave me comfort. So I know Shirley got comfort. Even though she didn't know who we were caring for, she knew that she was being loved. And I took too long now. Thank you.
Just one more thing about her mom and dad. You know, we're always heartbroken, especially if you lose both parents at the same time like that. And we were devastated. And like I say, we were miles and miles away. We were down below Sangerfield when it, at the campground down there when it happened. And to have to drive all the way home knowing that she'd lost her parents and my in-laws was a hard thing to do. But as time goes on, it healed our hearts. And we truly understood that, you know, God took them both for the same, for one reason, that they were always together. And they are together yet today. So it's like, yes, you still have a place in your heart for them, and you still love them the same way as you always, always love your mother. And we know that she suffered a long time with this, dementia and everything, but she's okay now. She's young, and she's not hurting anymore. Well, if they're not hurting anymore and they're young, we can't ask for anything better than that, only to the, for the day that we meet them. And face to face again. We thank you.
Just touched my heart to hear what you fellows have to say and Judy about your moms. And we say it many times through the years about so many people that will testify. There's so many very important people made it really, and then everybody is important, made it big and attribute their success and their to their moms, dads, others, so on, but especially there. We still have a couple songs we might like to share. I know time has gone by, and that's all right. You need to leave, you know, that's always the understanding you can. And if you would like to hear these songs, I like to think, and Bill has suggested a couple of these, and Don Arthur, one of them, that we're going to sing, which we closed with up on the hill in the rural cemetery. Beautiful, beautiful setting, beautiful day. And saying, when all else was said, and yes, all was done, we closed off up there with a song that, again, Don had asked for, It Is Well With My Soul. So when all has been said and done, with whatever situation and whoever's case we might be discussing or something like that, which is a harsh way to say it, but we can find that the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we wish upon each other when we part ways. So in all occasions, all days, all events, all gatherings, and all partings, hope that we can find that because of the love and joy and hope and peace and so many things that the Lord Jesus Christ offers, we can find it well with our soul, knowing he's giving help and guidance. I chose this first song, though, that we're going to sing. Rebecca and Erica and Pam, if you'll come up. Just an old-time song that goes way back and reminds me of the country days of farm farm boys and families and so on. And we've sung it before, but share it again today. Now, being basically called home for supper time, being out playing, out working, out still happening today, but especially in the sense of comparing it then to supper time in heaven. That's all I know to say. I'll also say yet before we sing it that Pastor Paul closed the service at, he closed both services, but the one at the funeral home, mentioning a song, the concept about everyone searching in their hearts, and that's already been mentioned here with what Don and Bill both shared, and Judy, whatever, but searching inside our hearts, so to speak, and say, are we basically, in a sense, in a place and to be ready to join them and so on, and not leave that circle unbroken. And that was the phrase that Paul used and said, you know, that want to be concerned that the circle not be broken when those are waiting for us. Will some family member be missing? Sad to say, in some cases, you know, there will be. But also, in a circle unbroken, there's a sort of a Grand Ole Opry version to that, but it's based on an old hymn, and this morning we're singing the hymn version or whatever, but instead of talking, we'll just sing them.
When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come, and winding down an old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call at set of song, "Come home. Shadows lengthen fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. One day beside her bedside I was kneeling, and angel wings were winnowing the air. She heard the call for supper time in heaven, and now I see she's waiting for me there. Tables ready up in heaven. It's supper time upon the golden shore. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. I believe my steps are growing wearier each day. This old world has ceased to make me want to stay, and my one regret is leaving you behind.
If it proves to be his will that I am first to go, and somehow I've a feeling it will be, when it comes your time to travel, likewise don't you feel lost, for I will be the first one that you see, and I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be waiting, drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise.
nights brought us trembling hands and failing eyes. I'll just rest here on the shore and turn my eyes away. Until you come, then we'll see paradise. And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan.
This one? Or just
no. There are loved ones in the glory. Where do forms you often miss?
When you close your earthly stories,
will you join them in?
Sorry, because a lot of the sting of Mom's death is gone. The sting is gone. But of course, I really miss her all the time. But I'm sorry that I ruined that song.
You didn't ruin anything, and it's fine.
Oh, yeah, we need a pitch.
I said we need a banjo. They sing it on Hee-Haw.
That song?
Yeah. Jaron, didn't they sing that on Hee-Haw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty high. I'm trying to get it lower. We didn't put a key on this.
That's fine.
This is number 490 in the hymnal. It is Well With My Soul. Would you stand, please? And we're going to sing a cappella here, I guess, right? And that means voices only. Okay.
I figured that out.
That's like in last week's bulletin, that terrible, horrible spelling of quarantine. It said, why are many people talking? Did you see it in the bulletin last week?
Shut down instead of quarantine.
They're saying talking short, not shut down, because not many people can spell quarantine. It was atrocious spelling.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. That's a triumphant note to end on, people. And whatever else we say, whatever other catastrophes we face and disasters on this earth, and the earth is made up of them. History's made up of them. They're full of them. But I want to tell you something, people. The Lord's going to have the last word, and he's made that painfully clear. And so on, when it all ends, he's going to be the triumphant, dashing warrior trooper that's coming again.
Amen.
And it will be well. Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. I cannot close off without saying this. If you could have been there, I know Don and Leslie will say this the same, Pam. You would have been greatly, and I'm not bragging him up out of whatever, but you'd have been greatly impressed. The key things Paul had to say at the right time in every part he had, and sharing devotional or intro and sharing other thoughts and sharing closing thoughts and so on in both services. And I think we work hand in glove together, and I don't know that I could find anyone that can team up better with than Paul Cornell, and the Lord has provided that and done that. And I'm sorry they couldn't be here today. They took a chance or took advantage of that opening to go to their families again in Rochester, and so on. And he says, I don't think I'll be in church Sunday. And I surely encouraged him to go. I said, we'll miss you. But I tell you, I thank him for a fantastic, outstanding job he did at the services, as well as yourself, Don, and your family, and all, Leslie. I'm going to ask you, Don, if you would share the closing prayer.
Yes, God. Does anyone have any special parting remark to make that didn't get a chance to share? I know we're over. I don't know if we are over. We don't have a dead We can tarry a couple seconds to hear what you have, anyone. Okay? It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. God bless you. I will say nothing more.